I went over around Thursday, 1st of February, 73. Bob Lee came in for a few minutes, getting a bucket that LF left over there. This is Bob Lee for a few minutes on Channel 1 Over, and I think it's around Thursday, the 1st of February, 73. Channel 1 Over, I'm beginning a visit with Bob Lee, just a few minutes. I think it's Thursday, the 1st of February, 73. Channel 1 Over, beginning a visit with Bob Lee. I think it's Thursday, the 1st of February, 73. Channel 1 Over, beginning a visit with Bob Lee. I think it's Thursday, the 1st of February, 73, somewhere along there. Thursday, the 1st of February, 73. This is Channel 1 Over, beginning the visit with Bob Lee. And Bob, the tape is emptied to way on over there. Then after Bob Lee is a little bit of Wade Swicord. Wade comes over to talk business with me, but not much happens on this reel. I could very well just discard it.
I just used to bail out my boat, it's a good bucket for that, and I just can't seem to remember to get another one when I'm down here. Huh? All right, that's good. Who's that, Faye? Say, I got an awful scare the other day, Saturday. I went down to work on my mother's house, you know?
Yeah.
And they got back me around and showed me some news. And it said, hey there.
Hi there.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
I was telling guy what a scare I got the other day. You
yeah.
just getting up? Did I get you up?
Yeah, I just get up this time. One of my friends, I know.
Yeah. I got back and Mary and I said, well, I went down to fix my mother's roof and it didn't do any good. I didn't know it till the next day after the rain. And Mary said I got some bad news for her. And
it's cold out there, Bob.
You saw it in the game for Sunday, didn't you?
Huh?
That we'll get approximately, well, I don't know about each one, but this test case of it, over at the university, was going to get a reduction of $2,000 on his retirement because they had misused the funds in some way for the retirement. And then said about $2,500 would be affected by it. That was in the paper on Saturday.
Well, how could this be?
I don't know, but it didn't please me, I can tell you that.
Reduction of $2,000?
Well, that was what his salary would be, a reduction of $2,000. And it said that he would have to put up $40,000 in order to get what he was supposed to get. $40,000.
Why, Robert?
That is
take a rich man. He wouldn't need it.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact is, in order to get that didn't make any sense to me because at $40,000, at 6%, he would get $200 a month, which is $24,000, in order to get $2,000. That wouldn't make any sense. He can invest $40,000 in Guaranty Federal, and get $200 a month.
Yeah.
At 6%. Whereas he'd give them $40,000 and get just $2,000 back. But they'd make $400 on it. That didn't make any sense to me. I talked to Fred Gillen about the next phone and he said, well, he just didn't think as much to it. And so
what are you circulating this time of day?
Well, I'm going up. I don't have classes on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
And Thursday.
Yeah.
And so the day is Thursday, and I'm going up to get some meat up at the market.
Oh, Bill Dennis?
Yeah. How's he getting on?
Not too well.
Is he still in the hospital,
yeah,
or home, or where?
He's at the hospital.
Still in the hospital.
Yeah.
His son always speaks cheerfully about it. Oh, he's doing just fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I miss old Bill Denny. He never said much when you went in there.
I know, but I miss him too.
Well,
he could cut the meat.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's good.
And they hadn't learned.
Well, let me get back to this just a minute. Don't worry about it unless you're in E. Are you in E?
I don't know.
Well, in other words, there's one, Jim Neal's in it, you can retire after 25 years, regardless of your age. I believe that's right.
Is that E?
That's the one anyway, I think. And I called Mary Ann Green, you know.
Yeah.
And that's her business. And she said, I had time getting that woman. I guess everybody in the world must have been calling her.
Yeah.
Fine. Anyway, she said, there's nothing to it. Said apparently, what I gathered from her, this one was affected by it. Something was not right about that, but the rest of them all right.
And they could stay awake nights if you needed.
That's right.
$2,000.
That's right. Because, you know, that could be the difference between gravy and comfortable living. That's not very much, but it could be, you know.
Yeah.
It sure
if
could
you take
be.
That off.
That old wad of gravy back in the Depression.
Yeah. And I was thinking up this morning, I'll get Social Security. If just by the skin of my teeth, I've been figuring up what I would make, you know, after one more year. If I teach double time during the summer, and I already got permission to do that, I mean, he said, just count on it. That'd be a year from next summer. And I just will get Social Security, but it'd be about $175 a month.
Right.
The difference between not getting it and getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add that $175 and then the $200 a month for this other thing.
Yeah. You
It'd
know,
help out, won't it?
You know, old
Roscoe. Plus then the
old Roscoe Parker retired, and he worked at, down at that little college.
Yeah, he got Social Security.
And he said he didn't get much, but he said at least he could buy him a bottle of liquor.
Yeah, well, the thing about it, though, is that it's gone up a great deal from then. Well, just last year it went up 20%. And I asked the woman, by what would I get then, what I was paying? You see, I'd have to have 17 quarters. And she said, well, 144. Well, it's gone up 20% since then.
Yeah.
And I guess it'll, and then there's the cost of living attached to it, so it won't be bad.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps, you know.
Do you ever go up there at the C3 office?
I'm about the only one I think who does. I never see Phil Bradshaw just quit everything.
Yeah.
He just quit everything over there. He doesn't go to meetings or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I go to the meetings and.
He's had enough meetings in his time, hasn't he?
Oh, yes, he has. But now it's a shame at the last why he's just out of it all, you know. He's a stubborn cuss.
He probably doesn't even like it that way.
Doesn't like what?
Stubborn.
He'd like to be in it a little bit.
Well,
he's just
thrown out on his neck. I mean, in a sense. See, he and Jim ran the place.
Yeah.
Well, Jim quit, then that just ruined it for us.
Yeah.
When Jim quit, well, then the English department took over.
Yes, it just collapsed.
That's right. It just collapsed completely now, and the English department took over.
Bob, let me tell you, I don't know anything about it, but you know, organizations, like other things, they just serve their time, and they may hang on, but they just gone.
Yeah, this one's through. C3 is through.
Yes,
that's the thing. Everything's changed about. Even now, they're giving specialized courses in as you know, in particular subjects.
Yeah.
For instance, I could teach American Indian.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And what's the name? Teaching opera, the literature and opera for freshmen. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What is his name? Sings.
Yeah.
Jerry Langer. Langer. Yeah. Well, he's teaching. That's one, of course. The opera. For freshmen.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that way though, because more and more. Because
yeah.
You see, this CLEP thing, you know the CLEP,
yeah.
CLEP,
yeah.
Which they can take examinations and get rid of 40% of their work.
Yeah, she knows about it.
Yeah. Well, that'll cut out a great many
from
especially in honors, you know.
Yeah.
I've cut out a great many.
Yeah.
And so there will be a decrease.
Well,
in fact is, you know, the old guy, the old traditional English that we have of, say, like
yeah.
C31, 2 and 3, that
yeah.
sort of thing, that's,
yeah.
that'll soon be gone.
That'll be clear gone.
And then just teach individual courses.
You know, when I started, we always...
about 200s.
We always had a Shakespeare play thrown in.
Yeah,
and that's been gone a long time.
Well, you can do almost anything you want over there.
Yeah.
You could teach. I think I could teach a course in vibrato.
Yeah.
If I could find enough about it, you know, books and teach called vibrato.
You know, last year, I spent a good bit of time over there. I was trying to find a little niche that I could fit into for some of the things I did out here. And it just, I didn't see it for a long time.
Yes,
but
yes.
All at once it dawned on me, just English itself, what a colossal organization it was. That was before C3.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge. It was just huge. And the thing that they had that C3 didn't have, they had all those graduate professors. And you know it takes a whole lot of fuel to keep them going, and all those assistants, right assistants, they were in English, a lot of them, and I saw if I just went in and spoke to the head of the department once a week or once every 2 weeks, he'd be swamped if everybody did that.
Really?
There were so many people there.
Right.
You just couldn't go around and say hello.
Well, I did it anyway. I mean, to Jake, was it?
Well, Jake, that was different than
Jake.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Oh, say, I got some information for you. I guess you know about it, but it's interesting. I was at the last meeting. The Green was talking about... Oh, did he come out here the other day?
Mm-hmm. He came out here, didn't say anything.
Well, he said, I was talking to him. Anyway... He said that, talking about, we have about 3 replacements for next year, or something like that, 2 or 3
yeah.
for next year. And they have had between 400 and 500 PhD applications for those 2 or 3 jobs.
Well,
for next
what is
year.
Gone with all the PhD
400 to 500 applications. Gordon Bigelow got up and said that. Between 400 and 500 applications for those 3 places.
Well, what in the world is
all PhDs?
What's cut down on the openings, Robert?
Well, there are 2 or 3 things. The enrollments have, you know, we're losing students now.
All over?
Yeah, everywhere. See, the population explosion has stopped, but I don't know why. This is in advance of that, anticipating, I guess. But the enrollments are down. We're down. The University College is down, and the whole thing is down about 1,000 students.
Yeah.
And I imagine it'll drop over more. Well, there are 2 or 3 things. First, they said that the students have been discouraged that thinking that they could get a great deal from out of college, and they don't get nearly so much as they thought they were getting.
Yeah.
That's one thing. So they're dropping out, going into work.
Oh, I can't imagine that.
And another thing, there are not as many students now in the population rank, you know, graduating from high school.
And then they don't have.
And then there's another thing. See, we have two more universities, one in Jacksonville, and then another one in Pensacola, that will absorb, and then another one in Miami that
yeah.
absorbing our students.
Yeah.
And whereas we would get the students, are they going there?
And
then the junior colleges, see,
yeah.
are
that,
taking
that's
them over.
Cool. That's cool in Miami. It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, that's the junior college you
yeah.
think about. Well, they
yeah.
open up a university now.
Yeah.
And then the junior colleges see absorbing the students right and left now.
Yeah.
Because you can go to a junior college and make A
yeah.
and get on, or come under me and make a C.
Yeah.
And which would you rather have? When it counts, A counts more when you
yeah.
total.
So that's going to make it hard on us. Let me tell you, did you get in a little fishing?
No, he did. I didn't. I tell you, my boat leaks it when two people are in it at the top. I tried to fix it, but I didn't do any better with that than I did Mother's house. And I took it out and put all kinds of stuff, gunk, you know, around there. But it still leaks. One sits in the front, one in the back, and it leaks pretty badly, so I didn't go on. But I have another boat.
Well, there's one out here.
What's that?
Boat.
Well, I have another boat, but it's I got dunked in it, and so I'm waiting for the water to warm up a little bit. It's a 14-foot. They gave it to him for Christmas, a new motor.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, a new motor.
And a new motor, a Johnson 4-horse.
Good Lord.
It's a nice one. And the boat is a John boat, you know,
yeah.
A metal boat.
Yeah, we got one.
And it turns over easily. Well, I couldn't get my new motor started, and it hadn't been broken in good. I took it down, he ran it, said it just needs to be run. And stepping back in, I didn't step quite in the center, you know, got too much on the, lost the balance just a little bit, and it tilted like that and threw. And I got dunked, and the motor got dunked. The hardest part was to dry out the motor.
Yeah.
That was a hard job.
Why'd you
getting it started.
What'd you have to do today?
Well, I took out spark plugs and tried to dry it everywhere I could, and Tim helped me, and then we worked about 3 hours. Within 3 hours, you got to get it to the repairman to do it. But I got it started, and so I took it out and ran it a couple of hours on the lake during the night, you know, about 10 o'clock when it got started, and dried it out. Otherwise, see, it rust in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the instructors say if it gets underwater, well, I get it to the repair shop. And let them so they can dry it out, you know.
Well, if you run it, that'll take.
Yeah, that dries it out, and so I did all that. Got it started.
What you been doing down at your mother's?
Working on a house. It leaks and I can't stop it.
That is a mean thing.
Well, what can you do about that?
Well, I've got that black top gunk and I've poured it all around and gone around everywhere. I see a little place that could leak along the edge, you know. I put some stuff in it and then I put it all around the edge. It's a house that has a V shape like that.
Yeah.
On the wall, their walls going up all sides.
Yeah.
And so, and I worked with that, and I still, she said, called it the next day and said, leaks as bad as ever. Worse, she said. So what I did was hurt it instead of helping it.
Well, it looks to me like that, what do you call it, that roof and asphalt?
Roof and tar.
Yeah.
Tar.
Yes,
looks to me like that would that stop it.
Well, it would if I got to go the right place, but evidently I don't know where the right place is and I can't see it. I think the thing is porous. It leaks through the. Can a roof be so rotten and porous that it can leak through it?
I don't know. But let me tell you, you know, this roof here, I caught it just in time.
Yeah.
It wasn't leaking, but the shingles were getting stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And I put two coats of that stuff all over the thing. And it just, of course, it didn't make a new roof of it.
Yeah.
And I put it just as thick as it would stay, you see. Uh-huh. And I had those just regular old masonry brush, and I put a long handle in it.
Squeegee. Push it.
Yeah.
Well, I did that mountain this Saturday. I'm going down there, and I thought I'd do one or two things, or maybe two things. I would get that black tar and spread it over the area where it is leaking, you know, because it may be going right through that old roof.
Sure.
Felt. It's just felt.
Yeah.
And it's old.
Just felt.
Yeah, just felt.
The roof is?
Yeah, and so it may be going right through there, you see. And
you
I
don't mean that roll?
Yeah,
felt.
It's just a roll stuff.
Mm.
Heavy roll stuff. And so she had a roof put on there, but it's been a long time, and that was it. You see, there's no way to put shingles that I can see because it slants like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you put shingles.
Huh.
Well, anyway, I'll put the blacktop. Now, you make some suggestions. I'll put the stuff and spread it all over there, and then I was going to get some roofing paper and put down there on these places. See?
Yeah.
Or would you just put the blacktop stuff?
Let me tell you. I went through that. I fought the battle of the Sears roofing team gang over here with one of my neighbors. They really took them for a ride and had all sorts of trouble. And I didn't, it's hard for me to find it out. But one of their neighbors over there, Dodd, he's a sort of genius at fixing things. He can rebuild an automobile and build a house. And
he's like Jake. Jake can do almost anything.
Who?
Jay Havlin.
Oh, yes.
Well, man.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yes. Well, hell, that's all you need to do. Ask Jay.
Well, you have to see it. You have to see it. I've done everything I know, see, except I'm going to get this blacktop and put maybe 3 or 4 buckets of, 5-gallon buckets over this area.
Yeah.
And spread it. And then whether to get the roofing paper and just run it down to the center. See, it's kind of flat here where it runs down.
Yeah.
And just run it down to that over this area, or would you just put the blacktop over it? I wasn't going to seal the stuff because I won't have time to do so much of it in about 3 hours up there. So
yeah,
I was just going to just seal it at the top and just roll it down, you see, and then cut it off. Roll it down and cut it off.
Who's going to help you?
Linda. Jen, I do it by myself, but I'm going
to
call her tomorrow.
She's pretty fair help. You ought to have somebody with that helping
us. Yeah, well, I do it by myself all the time, so I can do it by myself. And will do it, most of it, by myself.
Yeah, but you're so jerky.
Well,
you bust more than you fix.
Huh?
You're not as bad as I am, but you're bad. I get out there and I bust more than I fix.
Well, I thought I'd take the hose and go over the wall first with it and see if it leaks the wall. You can tell in a minute because it'll come right through. And then I try the center and see whether it leaks there. And then if it doesn't leak there, I'll try the side, see until it starts leaking.
Yeah.
And then, but the only trouble is you can't put that stuff on after it leaks. I mean, after it's wet.
Oh, you can't.
Well, Bob, you're
going to
be in a fix.
Why am I going to be in a
fix? If you're going to get it wet, then you
can't. Well, I'll just have to figure it out and put it on first and then see whether it leaks. Be a lot of work, but, put it on there first and then put the water on it.
Well, if you got Linda to help you, it'll be
safe. Well, you don't have tools and things down there to work with. You can't take everything
out. I have to take everything down there.
Well, you can't think of everything.
And that mother's going on 93.
Yeah.
And so she accused me last time of cutting off her oil so she couldn't get any heat.
Yeah.
I called this morning. I said, Mom, why would I want to cut off your oil so you couldn't get any heat?
Faye said she was the liveliest one over there at Christmas when she saw it.
We had a fine time.
She said make the rest of you look
She can stir up things if that's what Faye means.
We sat out in front of the wishy-washy and she just entertained me all the time. We ate ice cream cones.
She said she asked you about how you met Father Lee and how she met Father Lee. I mean,
she was cute. We were sitting there eating an ice cream cone and she told me. I told her how Mother met Daddy, and she told me. And we were licking on those ice cream cones like we was about 10 years old, sitting down in front of the washing machine.
We had
a good time.
Over there at Bob's
house? No, at
Nickanoka. Wash and dry place.
She went with me. And
you know where the wash and dry place
is? Well, you better wash and dry yourself.
Well,
but Faye didn't use it. Faye had
one. Yeah.
I said, Mother Lee, I'm going to wash my clothes. Would you like to go with me? Sure.
And she likes to go.
Hey, but just right quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know she'd even walk out of the car.
Well, that's the sort of response I like, you see. That just picks you up. And when somebody has to think around.
Well, when I'm in a hurry to get guy to get back.
Yeah.
And she takes this notion to go. It takes a half hour almost to get out to the car, you know, and get everything ready.
Yeah.
Lock up. Well, that's a half hour gone.
Yeah.
That I could be working.
Yeah.
And a half hour to get in. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but quite a little. But it does take a time. She'll just stand there. Come on, Mom. Stand there.
She's forgetful. She's
No, she's. I don't know. 92 and a half. I don't know what she is.
Well,
she's in no hurry. I can tell you that. And any time guy say to her, I say, Mother, I just got to go. Well, you know, I can't hurry. You're telling that every time. Well, Mother, you can do more than just stand in the middle of the street and let cars run over you. That's right. Just right out in the middle of the street, cars coming in. Mother, the cars run. Well, you know, I can't hurry.
And you stop.
I better go and get that. Let you get to work and get that.
What bucket is this you're talking about?
It's a brown plastic that he brought his fish in each time, I think. And I told him I'd just stop by here and get it because I used to bail out my boat and I used it to.
Did he have buckets?
Who, LF?
Yeah.
No, he didn't have any buckets.
Well, we got buckets over here.
Well, he didn't take them, you know. He doesn't take anything. He leaves things. Said he didn't leave him a bucket. He had to bring that with fish.
Yeah.
He left a box full of worms, you know, black, these artificial
worms. Yeah, those
worms.
Plastic worms.
Yeah, he had a box back there.
Full of them.
And he left it there about a year. I saved them for him, though. I got
something there.
He
kept sending you
word
to go ahead and use them.
I don't.
Yeah, the mortality in worms so great that you have to have a whole box full.
Well, these are artificial worms.
Yeah.
And he just likes various colors, I guess, and all kinds.
Oh, I see.
And he buys a pile of them when he buys them.
Yeah.
Bob, you been eating any fish that you've been catching over there recently?
I don't
know. Are they better at times than they are at other times?
Well, we don't eat enough of them to know that now.
We ate some the other night, and they didn't taste like they do when sometimes.
Well, they're too small. They're
not on the side. He colored.
Yeah, one. I know one was.
Yeah,
side.
It just sometimes I think they're better than others.
Well,
that lake's pretty clean,
one.
Isn't it?
Hmm?
That lake's pretty clean.
I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. I know Orange Lake fish have a dark taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought the fish on our lake were all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've eaten some mighty good ones out of your lake.
Oh, yeah.
But Maryland didn't have time to bother with them.
I said some of the best fish I ever ate was when you brought them right in and we put them right from there to the frying pan.
Well, Maryland didn't have time to cook them.
So you just eat hamburgers?
Yeah,
we just cooked out. Oh, we took the cruise to the new place, so the Italian fishermen. We've been there three times now, and it's right good.
Well, I don't know why anybody would want to leave a good house and eat out.
Well, Marilyn doesn't have time to cook a big meal, guys. She's working, and she comes home at 6 o'clock, and then we are hungry and all, and she doesn't have time to do it. And we're going to Judas tonight, but she gets off at 4, and she can spend the rest of the afternoon cooking, you know. But you can't cook up a meal. You cook a steak, I guess, but vegetables and all that. And she doesn't want to do it.
That's right.
And after she's worked at our office with all those trials that she has a sweet disposition. Nothing bothers her much. They come in there and this, that, and the other, take things out of the files that she's trying to get these things, you know, balanced. And they got them all around in the various desks, and she's trying to balance. And then not there, and it won't balance, you know. Then she says, well, they must be out.
Well, that's
go and look, and they got them hidden somewhere. She's got a sweet disposition. And when she comes home, why, she doesn't feel like, you know, spoiling that disposition.
You mean she's got a sweet disposition considering everything she has to put up with.
That's right. All that stuff, the office, and she does put up with it.
Sure she does.
Yeah.
And it would break me.
Yeah.
I couldn't, at one time, I'd explode.
Yeah.
And they are hiding these things around the desk. I mean, not literally hiding, but just leaving them there.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to balance the thing, and they're all out. And she told me, said, well, look, I can't possibly balance books if you don't keep these things out like that. Just make a copy of them and take them to your desk
and then
leave the other here.
Now, I've never been present, but Faye was once or twice. When Marilyn had some little brush with the police. Now, is she allergic to police like I am, or is she just takes so much and that's just a little too extra?
Oh, well, I tell you, that case that she's talking about, it was one place where you'd never see it. It was close to midnight, about 11 o'clock or so, and they got a little sign, no right turn, hung high. It's right at the school. Well, there's no school going on at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And she turned right. She didn't see it. It's up there and it's dark and you don't see it. They got one going into Gainesville as you cross the railroad track going up toward Maryland's office. No right turn. Way up high.
Yeah.
Unless you look up there like that, you probably won't see it. Well, so this fellow just kept following on until she got to the place to pick up Judy. And it provoked her. About that. There was no school there. It wasn't even common sense. I mean, no school going on.
Yeah.
And So there's no right turn on red. But that's a limit. That just doesn't make any sense. That's the way they are.
That's the way I find them.
I do too. I find them the lowest contempt of people on earth.
What is the, I don't see, you see, you travel more than I do. Both of you, see. Rice Martin more. I get out on that 441 just as little as I can.
Well,
if I see a policeman, I almost pull off the road.
I know how you feel. They scare more people than, and cause damage occasionally when, you know, they frighten you. And they'll hide on I-75, they leave the hood up, you know, so you can't see this murky business in front to recognize it as a car.
Oh, really?
And then they catch you that way. Put up the hood, you know, or the trunk or something.
Yeah.
And it hides that, so you can't see it. It's a trunk, I could be it is.
Oh, yeah.
Something, anyway. And you can't tell it's a cop's car. I was coming back Saturday, and I drive fast, you know, very fast, but I'm always in a hurry. Now, I was going around 80, and I was supposed to be going around 45. And I started to pull around this car. Well, I'd gotten into a better lane then, so there's two lanes, and here's a, you know, one of these airboats?
Oh.
And there's a car in front of that. Well, he was just poking along, you know, within good speed limit. And I was going to zoom by him and make time. I started around him, and I saw two things. I saw there was a yellow line just starting. And another thing I saw is a cop's car. I dropped back in a hurry.
Could you make it in time?
Yeah, it's all right. I just dropped back, you know, and just followed them on until I got to the four lane.
40 miles an hour?
That was hurting.
But it was one of these, what do you call these people that check out on the lake? It's like a game warden.
Yeah.
You
know,
that kind of police.
Oh.
It wasn't a game warden, but it's that type. Is that
you'd have had it if you'd have passed him at 80, wouldn't you?
Well, I wasn't going 80 then. I was probably going about 60, and he's going
around
about 45
that
then.
That yellow line.
Yeah, but then there was a yellow line just starting, though.
Yeah.
I hadn't got to it then. But I dropped right back. But those people don't say common sense, you know.
Yeah. I tell you.
They say the law says.
Yeah.
I got to go. Where's my bucket?
Rick will get it. It's in my car out there.
Well, why don't you drop by and chat sometime?
Bob, I'll tell you the truth.
She's the bigger home we are.
I don't know why we don't drop by your place in Channel Level.
Well,
I have no idea we don't, because we've had some of the best chatting there, and where I go.
Well, you want to come on then.
There's always something going on there.
Dodge makes one that's long, but it's has extended frame. Most of them just hang on the back end.
Well, it does both. Okay. Have extended frame and hang on the back end. They all do the same. Ford and Chevrolet. Oh, that's neat.
I had something in my booth. Well, I don't know her name, but one of the young ones way back up there. Bull. That's about the prettiest one of them all.
Is that number 7?
No, that's 6. You just hadn't brought it up.
No, sir. 2 heifers and 4 bulls.
Oh.
It don't matter. There's too many of all of them. That looks like one of Cookie's belts.
Well, for that size.
For sale.
Cookie almost sold some big ones. Metal ones, big square ones, you know, with a horseshoe on them.
Yeah.
Did you make them?
No, we were down at a horse auction in Ocala. Have a tack truck that comes up, you know, a big, big
I never saw
truck
one.
Kind of thing. You open it up, and it's got all the shells in there for the curry brushes and the reins and lunge lines. And then he's got saddles stacked on the other side. And of course, he's got the bridles and everything hanging up on that. And then in the back, all the blankets. And he reached over and pulled out a piece of cardboard and it had all those buckles on it. And he says, "You could sell some of these, maybe?" Cookie said, "Well, I'm working at the university. I might be able to." Well, Cookie hadn't been working out there. Not in a while. Well, I'll give you some. Well, let me check my market first. You sell for $250, double your money, and you can sell for $300 and $400 with no trouble.
How about that? Well, that's what we see. I got a little old desk lamp, gooseneck lamp like this the other day. I used to buy them at Hughes Supply for $2, and I paid $4.95 at
Chestnut's.
Well, they charge that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Hughes Supply, you can get a good deal if you can put up with waiting 45 minutes. They are terrible now.
Oh, they are worse than ever, aren't they?
Oh, they changed to the back now. And I sent Bill Schaaf in there with a list of things to get. He was going to get three things to hook up the dryer with. I'm going to get 220 wire.
Yeah.
Number 10 wire. Well, number 12 was supposed to be wound up. I thought 12, but it was supposed to be 10. And a 30 amp or a 220 breaker and a box, a plug, receptacle. Well, they came back. They sent one strand of wire. I talked to the man over the phone, too.
Yeah.
I said, "I'm hooking up a dryer, 220 dryer, and what do you think I should get?" And he told me. He said it'd be about 24 cents a foot for the wire and stuff like that. Well, they charged 6 cents a foot for it because it was only a single strand. And it was like outside wire that you would bring in power with, is what it mounted to. They sent one strand of 24 feet back.
Hmm.
They sent a 20 amp or wrong breaker. Something wrong with each one of the things. I went back. It took 45 minutes to change it.
You're lucky.
And just to swab. And then I wound up with the wrong bloody breaker. It was what didn't fit my box at all. So I had to jury rig it with 2 110s today. I got it working, though. I put it together with 2 110s and made a 220 out of it.
I don't know how they could get so off base in there. They used to do better than that.
I think so. They're really, something's gone wrong back there. It takes them at least 10 minutes to get any one item.
You must have a dozen people working that counter.
Yeah, I came by. When Bill and I went out on the road to take some pictures for a grant he's applying for, and went by his parents' house in Dunedin. And went out in the garage, and there's this dryer sitting out there. So he called up his mother. She was at work. He says, "What you going to do with this dryer?" She had a brand new one inside. She says, "Well, it was bumping a little bit, and so I bought a new one. I was going to give it to the Goodwill." So we loaded the bloody thing in the back of the car.
You was Goodwill.
And it's one of the finest dryers I've ever seen. Doesn't even make a sound. It's whirs along.
You know, a man ought to be able to make a living at things like that.
That's the reason I'm after a van. There's too many things you miss out on.
Yes.
Say, well, I can't take it with me.
You can't take it with me. I haven't got anything to haul in.
You just stuff that boy full.
Let's hear about Mike.
He hadn't contacted me this week. he must have gotten off busy again. I found out you have to stay on top of everything you're doing.
Yeah.
I'll ring him up and get him down this weekend sometime. And I think he's going, at least he's got the procedure.
Yeah.
The formality, information, who to go through. For instance, this Ford Foundation grant, after the initial writing up the grant, you have to get your department head's approval. And then they have certain forms and certain things that you call yourself. And like Debbie and Rick would be research assistants or whoever you had under it, and name them out, who does what, and then he knows the channels through which and how to send it to Ford and the particular segment or section of Ford Foundation that you send it to. You know, the different groups of the thing. And this, he said, that's one of the best grants. Most of them, the university gets about 43% of the grant, and in Ford they don't get anything. So if you want $50,000, you have to apply for 93 or something like that. Or a huge rake off. One of the things you got, what do they call it, the release time. In other words, part of the grant is you pay the university for your time. Whatever your salary is, it comes out of the grant and goes back to the university. Or the university doesn't pay you and you take the salary, one of the two type things. That some procedure goes on there. And he said that $300 a month is a grant for you, and if you had an associate in it, it's tax deductible, it's tax free. He knows all these little things. It's $300 per month, it's tax free. So, it saves you, if you're in a 30% bracket or something like that, saves you a good bit of money, $90 a month or something. And if we want to get started on it, we need to start getting some idea of expenses on the thing. I think if we just start dividing it up and calculating out what kind of monies you need, and you always add 10% when you get through with the whole thing, and along in the middle somewhere you add 25%. That's one of the formal, it's very formal presentation. You add up everything you need, and then it's, a lot of times they use 8%. They say 8% variance or overage, plug that in, add that to the end of it. And they're very pleased with this, rather than just including the whole thing, forgetting it. They'd like to see the 8% stacked on the end. I think if we get into the cinema thing, it may be, somebody like me into it, it may be better for me to contract out. In other words, you're hiring a firm to do this. I'll have to look into that. It might be better tax advantage and everything else on it. I don't know. I have no idea how to work the thing, or how much. Don't have any idea how much you're going to do to start with, or what. I was thinking to myself about trying to work on it, getting somehow put together with some cinema work. So you have the two things, the recording and the cinema. Mm-hmm. And which
we ought to have that. We're just losing out on that.
Well, I think it can be done. I don't know to what extent or how much. That would require a lot of experiment and a lot of hard work. I feel like the visual part of it has got to be presented so that it doesn't begin to outweigh the audible part of the talk, but it's got to be good enough that the two things tie together and hold, so you've got a balanced thing, you've got to pull on it. It's a matter of trying to get it in enough form that the public will sit still for it a little while. And it would be very valuable if we had a pilot, but I'm afraid the expense of a pilot, if we did it anywhere right, would be pretty strong. Because doing the pilot would be a third of our work done there, experimenting and finding out what the hell's going on. Just doing the pilot. That would be getting. I don't know the directions to take on it. What alternatives to cinema, I think all this should be explored. The only thing I'm considering right now is presenting the tape form. I don't know a thing about your writings or writings about or concurrent with the tapes. That's my only knowledge is the tape or thoughts on it.
Well, every tape has to be, described as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can work it up, but I couldn't work up. You can't work up all of it.
I would think you set a limit of maybe if you've got 20 really outstanding things. Or 10, 15, or 20, or something of this nature that you work on. Maybe even 10 would be sufficient, I think.
Yeah.
If you got that many of them, the best things that you have, and get those tight enough with the tape itself, with the description of what's going to set it, and then let the tape go, and then all this has to be hooked in with the cinema. I mean, someone has to set it up, like you said, to give it a verbal description of what's going on, some background.
I just write out on a piece of paper to see what's in the tape. Because I couldn't recapture it, I'd have to listen to it all over again. I wouldn't even know what was in it, see, unless I described it. And for 3 or 4 hour tape, that'd be right considerable, wouldn't it? We've got something like that. Mr. Jim and Suzanne had Mr. Weave over here one time. I'd forgotten about it, and it just lasted on. About a 4 hour tape. And it's one of the good ones, because he liked Jimmy. And he tolerated Suzanne. And they brought out things that, see, I never could have done. I'm using something now. We're using that. It's usable. The talk, what he says, and it is usable.
I don't know how you would hold up with it, but the thing that occurred to me, something like an introductory film, which should be in talking with you, if at all possible, if we could get it done, in such a manner as we're doing now. And that requires somebody to be, for you to respond to, or somebody talking with you, but mainly that you're doing the major part of the talking, not a matter of an interview or anything, but just a stage setting, and something just like you said right then. I don't know if that's the right thing, but some way of getting into opening up this whole subject matter, and it should be done as brief as possible.
Yeah.
I don't mean in 2 minutes, but I think 10 minutes of it would. Something of this nature that you need to open it up. And then each one, it seems to me that these cinema productions should be kept down to a modest amount of time. Maybe some of them longer, but a lot of them in a short range period, like even a 15-minute period, if anything could be done in that. See, this, I don't know, we might not be able to do anything in that amount of time. But it's all, how do you sustain that in the public sense.
Yeah.
And also, none of these things are going to be, I mean, all of the cinema stuff has to be done related to the subject matter, but it's not going to be about it. Some of these people aren't here, they're dead, and the situation is not the same, and you're not photographing the person while they're doing the talking.
You know, using stuff after you get it is—that's worse than getting it, isn't it?
It's a problem.
It is indeed.
It really is a problem. I think.
It is indeed.
Right off the top, that I could work up one or two of them. I don't know how long and how sustained it could be in the visual image. But then how varied this could be, I don't know. It reminds me of these really flat people that narrate these nature series on TV that the kids write all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I walk in there, and the kids listening to it, I mean, and you hear them, and they all sound alike to me. There's a nature thing going on, and the guy's got that same flat tonality that he's talking about it in.
Mm-hmm.
Some packaged good, and this is the thing you've got to avoid. It's getting into that kind of cliche. Which would be difficult to do. You don't have that much room to work when you're talking about hours of taping. On the cinema aspect of it, I can get some, bring in some estimates on all this. Say, let's talk about 10, 30-minute films just as a round figure. Right there. I haven't even called anybody or asked them, but I'm sure that this would be just way up in the thousands of dollars if you're going to do it on a professional film basis.
Oh.
I mean, it's way up in the money. I know, I mean, you should be shot on 16mm, and just buying the film to do it alone is an immense amount of money.
Oh, really?
It's a tremendous amount of money. So you'd shoot probably 4, 5, 6 hours film to get 30-minute film out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just that production cost alone is phenomenal. So filming in itself would be a pretty strong cost. It'd be easy enough to nail down the cost on, like, your work and any of your assistants' work, just by lining out a salary and having office expenses and telephones and things of this nature, whatever, and some travel expenses of time to go into Gainesville or anything you want to add into it. It's not very difficult to come to some sort of a round figure on this. And the even after we get it put together, there's likelihood you need monies to do something with it. This occurred to me. Some freedom to do something with it so you don't start digging in your pocket again to try to get them placed in the right situation, or just availability of some funds to do it. Now, how we gained the attention of these people without a pilot would be quite difficult. Perhaps we need something like a seed grant. Mike got $10,000 to get his bigger grant with, and he was only after $75,000. He got $10,000 to get $75,000 with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's his name?
Mike Conley.
Conley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in economics. A new?
I think just this year.
Oh,
in September.
Well, he came in running, didn't he?
Oh yes, he's not messing around at all. Well, he's in the right field. He's in international economics. So that's timely. Like seem to be in ecology or architecture, the field to be in now, in school, maybe not out of school, that's where they're getting all the money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the fair-haired department, is architecture. Just found that out. It wasn't that way before, but
yeah,
that's because of all of this sociology stuff that's happening, and land planning, and city planning, urban planning,
mm-hmm.
and taking care of the people. And finding a lot of grants coming on this kind of stuff. Yeah, I just finished writing a program for the architecture department. Possibility I might sneak in half time next quarter teaching a graduate seminar course. So if it works out, it'll be fun. If it doesn't, I haven't lost anything. They're right excited about it. They're always reluctant to step out on a limb. Really scared.
Yeah.
They want it bad. They see the need for everything I talk about.
Yeah.
They want it, but how to do it? Can't see it.
Yeah. Not venturesome.
No. Mm-hmm. Politics. Gotta be politics.
Yeah. Well, that's where they got where they are, by being politics and not venturesome. I got the squint somehow of it. Every now and then I just turn up with the squints for no reason at all.
Just hit you?
Oh, you know, just something. Just sort of getting draggy.
I think one of the things possibly we could do, if we could get any seed money, I don't know what the hell we could do for $10,000.
Pilot you couldn't do for $10,000? Oh, you mean to get the $10,000?
Well, $10,000 might
if you're going to stay away from the university, it'll cost you a bit. We've got all kind of audiovisual stuff at the university. I was thinking it'd be in videotape.
End of the war, or at any rate, the American participation in that war have on the economy. We deal with American participation after the fall and rise of Jimmy Hoffa. And what effect?
And it's now 64 degrees in Gainesville. That's the latest in local and area weather brought to you by Harfred Auto Imports. Andrew.
I'm just going to turn this on and get David Brinkley. But I just won't have to listen to it.
Yeah, I suppose the equipment could be barred. I assume they'd have 16 millimeter equipment.
They've got a TV station.
Well, I don't know about video.
And I know they've got the film equipment.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
See, I was talking to this girl last night that videotape is evidently pretty limited. Or I think it's better to start with your 16 millimeter and pull your tapes off of that or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose it would be. I had just talked to a fellow who said they had cameras that could photograph and light things that you couldn't see in the same light. TV cameras.
TV?
Mm-hmm. Videotape. And that would use that kind of tape. It was just a sideline I was looking at.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what kind of transcription you'd get off of them. That being the case, it'd certainly be cheaper. One thing, the video, this kind of tape, when you go and do your cutting, you can take the stuff you cut and reuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no development cost on it. I think the machinery cost is your problem on that, getting proper machinery. I'm not familiar with the technicalities of videotaping. I mean, the vision would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using a different machine, but you'd have the same lenses, same type of lens work, stuff of that nature.
Well, terrific.
I think most of the time in this guy would be coming about and trying to. Even after you get the tapes and get your cinema done, it's trying to put the bloody thing together right.
Yes.
This would be the labor.
Yes, that's it. You know, one of the fellas I know pretty well up in Knoxville, he finally got into the television work there, and then he got into making little tapes of his own,
mm-hmm.
travels and all, and he edits them and puts them together and shows them on television, takes them off places and shows them, and he makes money out of them. And he just loves it. but he's got a lot of things to work with. And he's not interested so much in the content, the thought of it, you see. I don't care much about this other side of it. I'm not interested in it. See, talents and that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the talk. But then you see you almost have to have something these days to carry it, something visible.
That's the only alternative I see. You take 10,000 people, you don't get three of them sit down listening to it.
Oh no. No, they won't.
And I think it's valuable enough to make an attempt to make it more presentable to the people.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a guy in town I just happened to briefly mention this to. He runs the Apollonian Alternatives, a leather workshop. They make belts and all kinds of leather work. And his name's Tim. And he's a bluegrass player, a banjo player.
And I just happened to start this mumbling about it a little bit, and he got so excited he didn't want me to leave, and I had to go somewhere. And because these guys have been trying to record some of the authentic music, is quite different from any other music that you get ordinarily, like the high production type music. And it has a very different quality to it. It's a communicative type music that people sort of talk together with this music, and they interrelate quite a bit. They're really up in the hill people, backwoods people that play it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's possibility of, if you something, a relationship or something of this nature in it, I'm not maybe even talking about it, but just playing it once in a while. I don't know. I'm just thinking of visual possibilities and whatever else goes on within this whole field, how to present it.
Mm-hmm.
Without making it, it's got to be simple to carry, but it can't be boring. Camera work is coming out today. Is really they're really doing some terrific stuff in cinema.
Yeah.
And the movies. They're really getting slick. I saw one not too long ago that was made maybe 10 years ago. And it looks to be 40 years old. I mean, if you see 5 to 10 really fresh, good new movies with the top rate movies, and say 5 of them, then you go see one of the movies made 5 years ago, you're completely ruined. You just can't accept anything. It just looks crude.
Yeah.
It's amateurish. It's amazing. It really is. They've gotten this visual thing working, and they just run you through with this camera. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I'll turn that on. Well, you beat your alarm clock that time.
Yeah.
Looks like you need some precision timing equipment. Right here,
yeah. Yeah.
I wish I tried to find a timer, but I couldn't find one.
Good Lord, I'm sure they had bunches of them.
Yeah.
Well, you would find, couldn't you find
sure.
them? A photographer has to use a timer.
No, I think he's talking about your regular... Oh, well, we've got radios that do that to an extent.
10-minute timer or something?
Yeah, radios do it.
No, in other words, you have a program that comes on at 5:30 and you set up your rig at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just leave
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You go off and it goes on for 30 minutes and shuts off.
That's right. Yeah.
And I have, matter of fact, I have a timer. I don't, if we gave it a variation, like a 5-minute variation, it'd work. And I've forgotten how many times it'll turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's only twice an hour, which is crude. I mean, twice a 24-hour period that it turns on and off. It's really a simple, crude thing. They've got a lot more mechanisms than that. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. But